welcome to the Off Menu podcast. My name is Dan, and I'm here with John. We're both the hosts. Oh dear, this is very clunky, John. I'm a bit thrown.
What are you thrown by?
Well, for the listener, John is now in Canada.
Yes.
And I'm in Coventry, the Canada of the Midlands, some would say. So it's early in the morning for you. Is it early in the morning for you? It's about 10 o'clock?
It is. So it's 20 past nine here in Vancouver, Pacific time. You're 5 o'clock?
Yeah, 20 past 5.
There you go. So we're now a global entity.
Yeah, absolutely.
It adds a bit more kind of pizzazz, doesn't it, I guess, that, you know, we're operating on two different continents.
Yeah. Globe-trotting.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they call it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Transatlantic.
Yeah, yeah. Building that special relationship.
That's right, that's right. But yes, we're still the Off Menu podcast, mm-hmm. We're pleased to know, and nothing else is going to change. It's all going to be fine. But there might be some more Canadian sort of themed food news and things from you, John, I guess.
There could be. That might happen, yeah. That might happen. There might be some food news today. Who knows? It's
It's exciting, though, to be here. It's been a little while since we've recorded as well, so that's why, if I'm sounding rusty doing the introduction, that is why, because I've forgotten how to do it, almost. But we're here. It's all good. And what's it all about, John? What's all this about?
Yes. So we're going to do the Off Menu of Mike Skinner. Was it a Mike Skinner in EastEnders? I feel like there was a Mike Skinner in EastEnders.
I don't know.
But this is the Mike Skinner off of the streets. Not like the streets as in homeless.
Although there's a few clues in this part, this episode, which might point to that.
yeah, something about having one set of clothes.
One set of clothes.
Yeah, but he's would you call him a musician? I guess he is a musician. He's a rapper, a singer, I don't know.
A rap singer?
An artist, yeah.
He's a English rapper, singer-songwriter, musician and record producer.
That's very good to say that off the top of your head, Dan.
Yeah, it is. It is very good. Well, that's what his Wikipedia says. He is basically just a rapper, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or a talker. Is he a rapper? He's more like a talker, isn't he? I can't really remember any of the streets.
Well, it's kind of my era, so I know of the streets, and I think he does sing and rap and talk, and it's all right. The songs that I know, I like. I wouldn't say I'm a huge Streets fan, but
no,
fair play to him.
Fair play to him.
We'll get to Mike and his menu, but first, I think we should do a little bit of food news.
On a cold winter's evening, I like to treat myself to a jacket potato.
We live in a very naughty world.
Only use those sources that you trust.
My main food news today is Doritos are offering a 13-year-old girl $20,000 as a reward for finding a puffy Dorito crisp and listing it on eBay.
What? Right.
So this girl, Riley Stewart, she found a puffy Dorito. Mm-hmm. In a bag of Doritos. She posted it on her Instagram and TikTok, and she was kind of showing the crisp off and saying, shall I eat it, or do you think it's valuable? and all her followers said she should put it on eBay. So she put it on eBay for 99 cents to start. And quickly it escalated to nearly $20,000. What happened then was a lot of the media attention got involved and stuff, and she took it off eBay, but then Doritos contacted her and said, we'll give you $20,000 for the crisp for your entrepreneurship, and because you had the idea of putting it on eBay, basically. So she's going to get $20,000, which is about 10,000 in English pounds. Still pretty good, but
I think that's more than pretty good, Dan. She's it kind of makes me feel a bit sick that we're in a situation here where she's found a crisp and she's decided to sell it. Like, you know, good on her for, you know, finding a crisp. Well done, you found a crisp. That's puffed up. I'll get onto the fact that I've probably found many crisps like that, many Doritos that are puffed up. I'm sure I have. But that's a different point. But yeah, well done for her for kind of. She's probably quite famous on TikTok or on social media already. So, you know, if I found a puffed up crisp and I put it on my TikTok, no one would tell me what to do because I don't really know what TikTok is.
No, nor do I. I thought you did dances on it. I didn't know you could put crisps on it as well.
Yeah, I thought it was dancing. I thought, you know, TikTok was only for dancing. So I don't understand why there's a crisp on there.
So it's for dancing and crisps, it seems, TikTok.
Yeah. But it does make me feel sick that there's enough people out there to bid up to about $20,000, and then Doritos themselves kind of shows you how much money Doritos probably make when they're happy to buy one of their own crisps back off a customer.
I agree. And even if we found that crisp and put it on eBay, it wouldn't get that much either. So it's kind of annoying. Like, I don't know if she was a TikTok star. She's like 13-year-old girl. Maybe it's just
that's what it's like now, though, Dan. Like 13-year-olds, most of them are like millionaires.
Well, she doesn't need the money then.
Yeah.
Apparently, her dad was reported as saying that he bought the packs of crisps, so he thinks that he should get the money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but she argued back saying, "Well, I ate the packet and I found it, so it's mine."
Yeah. No, I think this is the kind of start of a lawsuit, isn't it? And the family breaking up over this.
Well, I hope so. There's a bit at the bottom which I'll tell you about as well. You might know about this already, but rare food auctions are not a new thing. We've had them before. Back in 2004, a grilled cheese sandwich with the face of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Was sold for $28,000. And then more recently, a McDonald's chicken nugget shaped like a computer game character was sold on eBay for $100,000.
Jesus Christ. Okay, yeah.
Which, I mean, I reckon a lot of these people, I mean, the crisp one, like the puffy Dorito, that's hard to fake. But a chicken nugget or a grilled cheese sandwich with the face of the Virgin Mary, that's easily sort of fakeable, isn't it?
The grilled cheese one, absolutely. You could do that, no problem. The chicken nugget one, you know, we've talked about getting a share a box of 20, and I've never studied each chicken nugget, but I'm pretty sure that if I did, I'd probably find the face of not even a real person, a computer game character.
Well, I would argue that every chicken nugget looks like the face of the Elephant Man.
In which case, you know, give us the 100,000, please.
If we sell a box of 20,
yeah,
then we can retire on that. you have to spread them out. You couldn't put like put them all on together, 20 chicken nuggets with the face of the Elephant Man. But I think that's worth a go. I did try and have a look on eBay to see if there's any auctions going at the moment. It's quite hard to thing to search. I did like something that looks like, but I don't know what that comes under on eBay. I don't know. That's a bit mad. Who's buying that?
Again, it's just another 13-year-old. You know, that 13-year-old who's sold a crisp for $20,000 is probably going to spend that on buying a chicken nugget that looks like something.
Well, probably, yeah.
And that person who sells the chicken nugget will just buy, I don't know, some marshmallows that look like the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I mean, if you could make one, what do you think you could do? Like food that looks like someone.
Well, I think a chicken nugget is just so easy, isn't it? You could just take a chicken nugget and just make it. I could probably do the Queen.
Oh, that'd be a good one, the Queen. Yeah.
I don't think that's hard to do.
I don't know, because the Queen's got a certain look about her now, hasn't she?
She has now, but I think that lends in our favour.
I suppose. Yeah. I think you could have a raisin that looks like Prince Philip.
Yeah.
Because he was quite wrinkly already. And we could say that he's been reincarnated as a raisin.
Raisin, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Or like an apple. You could just draw the face of someone on an apple. I think that could be quite good.
I've found the chicken nugget that looks apparently like a game character.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a funny looking chicken nugget. It's got like two stumpy legs, but other than that, it's got no other features that would suggest it looks like anything, really. It's just a chicken nugget with kind of two little prongs coming out the bottom, and someone's gone, oh, that looks like... And the character that it looks like, I could honestly just draw that myself now. So
okay.
I that is unbelievable that someone sold that for $100,000. But going back to the Doritos, Dan, do you remember 3D Doritos?
3D Doritos? No.
Yeah?
Were they like pyramid tea bags, were they?
They were, yeah. So they were Doritos, so it's the same kind of texture, but they were all puffed up.
Okay.
And they were really, really good.
Okay, yeah.
Have you found the chicken nugget, Dan?
No, I just thought about if you had a really puffed up Dorito, you could say it looks like Dynamo.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe Riley Stewart's Mr. Trick with her Dorito.
No, I mean, no. Yeah, I'm looking at the chicken nugget now, and it's very, very tenuous. I mean, it looks more like a minion to me.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a minion. It looks like a minion. But going back to these 3D Doritos, do you know, have you tried, is it Boogles? Bugles?
Oh, right. I think I have.
They're like the cone shaped. So the Doritos were kind of exactly like that. But, they were so good. They were so good.
So good.
They should bring them back. Doritos, bring them back, please.
Yeah, I think... Doritos they've got space to do a bit of experimentation, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I think they should do that, yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
Well, we've talked before about them selling the powder, you know, the coating.
Oh, yeah.
Just as a little shaker thing, and I think that is a genius idea. I think, you know, they should definitely do that.
Yeah.
And I can also forgive them for stealing my idea of having the separate compartment, the mesh, where you can get the little bits at the bottom. Which they ripped off. I gave them that idea, and they ripped it off. I can forgive them for that. But come on, Doritos. Don't give money to a teenager for a crisp.
No.
Give us what we want.
Yeah. Or give us the money just for doing this podcast.
Yeah. But no, that's good food news, Dan. Did you say there was another one?
Just an honourable mention, really. I see that James May has released his own gin.
Okay, yeah.
you know, just another one of those, another person sort of not happy with what they've got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's making his own journey. Have you seen that? I only saw that because I was watching that Jeremy Clarkson on his farm thing. So I think I was reading around that, and then it came up about James May's got a gin.
Okay.
I think it's apparently made from parsnips.
James May is probably the most likeable, isn't he, out of the three?
Yeah, so, probably, yeah.
So, you know, I don't mind. Because he is a bit weird, he's a bit quirky, he does like those like weird TV shows where he kind of looks at like roundabouts or something for an hour, or
okay, yeah,
like, you know, tells us the history of like a sticker.
Yeah, he did one where he did the series where he took apart things.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so he took apart things.
I think that's quite a pleasing sort of thing to watch. We got really into this. There was like a 2 hour long shepherding program on BBC4 like about 6 months ago, and Rachel and I really got into it. It was just like we just found it late at night, turned it on. It was just like this guy wandering around the Lake District trying to gather his sheep in, but it was like so calming. And then they kind of interspersed it with like poems which were like read by Maxine Peake. But it was a really relaxing way to sort of like just chill out before going to bed. And I feel that's the same thing. I kind of like videos on YouTube where people are making things in real time. And it's just kind of relaxing, I think, that kind of thing. So he's done a bit of that. But I think James May is all right, isn't he? But he's still kind of guilty by association, isn't he?
You know, he was the sneering little shit stood behind, like Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond.
Yeah. And then what atrocity has Richard Hammond committed?
Well, this is the whole, like, Stuart Lee thing, isn't it? That he's the worst of them because he's, like, behind Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah.
Kind of going, go on, say it. That's really funny, isn't it? That kind of attitude,
yeah.
You know, like Jeremy Clarkson being a bully and just kicking the shit out of someone while Richard Hammond's behind going, yeah, you get him, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And James May was also there as well. So by association, bit of a knobhead, isn't he?
What we're saying is we like some of the things he does. He's not the worst one. Well done for making some gin, but basically don't buy it.
Yes.
That's it. Food news for me.
Very good. Very good, Dan. So, my food news, I've got a couple of short pieces. The first one, Dan, is I can't remember now. We've covered Biscoff quite a lot now in this podcast. And I can't remember if you, as part of your food news a couple of weeks back, had told us that there's now Lotus Biscoff chocolate bars. Did you tell us that?
No, I did not know.
So my food news, Dan, my food news is that Lotus have released chocolate bars.
Okay.
So there's white chocolate, there's milk chocolate, and then there's just milk chocolate, but with more biscuit in it.
So that's
their new release. This is only from a couple of days ago, so that's already, you can already buy that, Dan. Now it was initially, as with a few of these, Dan, that they weren't available in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready to kind of tell you the news, but also say that the only place that you can get them, as far as I could tell, was Saudi Arabia or Belgium, obviously. Those two countries. But I did a little bit of research, and there's a good Instagram profile called New Foods UK, and they had a picture only a couple of days ago, and it's in store at B&M.
Okay.
So you can get it from B&M. It's £3, so it's not too cheap. It's not a B&M bargain, but, you know,
no.
it's something a bit different. And they have, so it isn't English either. So they haven't got, it isn't written in English. And I think the biscuity one they call pasta-pate.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means, but I presume it's not pate or pasta. Now, given the kind of trend of how these things happen,
yeah,
that the co-op will announce in about 12 weeks' time that they are releasing the new Lotus Biscoff chocolate bars. So I'm telling you now, I'm telling the listeners now, you can buy it now. Don't wait for the press release from Biscoff. Don't wait for the press release from the co-op. You can buy it now. B&M bargains, £3.
Oh,
go and get your fill.
I was in B&M today and I didn't see them.
You got to be looking, Dan. You got to be looking for these things.
Well, I was looking in the biscuit and chocolate area, but I couldn't see them. I didn't notice that. That would have jumped out at me. That maybe they've hidden them away somewhere.
Yeah, maybe it's not nationwide then. But yeah, this is.
We've got a few B&Ms. I'll have to try another one, maybe.
Yeah, go and have a wander around. Go and have a recce of a few. It might take a couple to actually find them.
I just looked up to see the chocolate as well, and this is a sub food news on this article. Aldi is launching a gin that tastes like Biscoff.
Oh, okay.
Says here, salted caramel cupcake.
As long as James May, it isn't James May's, then go and buy it. So that's some big Biscoff news. The other quick one that I just wanted to mention, also on this thread. And this is my Canada-related news, is Tim Hortons. We've been to Tim Hortons, haven't we, Dan?
Yeah.
And we've talked about it. It's a Canadian donut place, I was reading up about them. They've got about 30 stores now in the UK, and they're hoping to have stores in every major city in the UK by the end of next year, so that's exciting. But they do a cereal. They do a Timbit cereal that you can buy. And if you go on to GB Gifts, you can buy it. You can buy Timbit cereal, which it's pretty good. It's not amazing. Is it worth £8? Probably not. But, for those fans of Tim Hortons, Timbits and quirky cereal, then you can get their birthday cake cereal for £8. So... go and do that if you've got money to burn.
Sounds good.
I'm talking to you, Riley Stewart.
Yes, Riley. Well, that's come up before GB Gifts, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing well somehow, getting all these fancy things that we can't get anywhere else, but well done to them, I guess.
So the secret ingredient then, Dan, for this week is plenty of fried tomato, which apparently is a reference to one of Mike Skinner's songs. I don't understand it.
No. Something with eggs as well, and some other eggs.
Yeah, something to do with eggs, but I'm a little bit annoyed that they've stepped away from the serious format of this podcast.
Yeah.
Just to try and impress Michael Skinner.
Yeah, I think it would have been funny if he had said that as a joke as well, because he knew about that was one of his lyrics, and he was on a food thing, that would have been funny, and then they would have had to throw him out. That would have been quite good.
But going by this episode, Dan, Mike Skinner isn't a real joker.
Not a joker. He knows he's got a lot of serious things going on. Did you know that Mike Skinner has read a book on Carl Jung, I reckon. Just in case anyone missed that, he's not just a rapper. Is Mike Skinner? He's a clever boy. He's a philosopher, something like that, you know.
Well, yeah, and he likes to watch videos, doesn't he, Dan?
He likes to watch videos, yeah,
like serious videos, TED Talks, and things like that.
Yeah. Actually, he probably hasn't read a book then. He's probably just seen a TED Talk on Carl Jung. Is that like the new book now? People don't really bother reading books.
What, they just do TED Talks?
They just look on YouTube for, like, people chatting or people... I mean, I'll hold my hands up and say that I've definitely done that rather than reading something for certain things.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I think you need to... You can't get everything condensed down in a quick book, can you? I don't think.
Yeah. Sometimes the words are too complicated.
Well, I think... Yeah, I think maybe YouTube's made things more accessible for people. I think sometimes books can be quite wordy. Have you ever read any Carl Jung?
I haven't, no.
That's a shame.
I'm afraid. Have you?
No, I've not, no. Although I did, I'm going to show that I'm a clever person as well, like Mike Skinner. I did a poem. At university, based on Carl Jung's Inducer Words. That's right.
Okay.
Look impressed. Okay. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, very clever.
So,
very clever.
You know, I don't know if he came on this trying to sort of big himself off a bit, sort of like tried to shed the perception that he's just like a rapper. He when it came on sort of trying to show he's like a deeper person.
Yeah.
You think that?
Yeah.
Like he's playing up to that and trying to make Ed and the other one, James, that's his name, make them look a bit daft and, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's come on, and you see it with musicians and artists and even actors occasionally, and especially on these types of podcasts where they'll come on and just play a different character to step away from their...
Yeah.
Their usual selves, or they might actually be proper intellects. There's a footballer, I know you don't follow football, but there's a footballer called Joey Barton who is a proper like hooligan. He's a proper scumbag. But he went through a phase of trying to be a bit like philosophical, and a bit of a poet and people are like, oh, he's changed, Joey Barton's, you know, now a really, really considered person. And then he'll go on the pitch and then just, you know, get sent off straight away for mouthing off or something. So,
yeah.
People don't change. You can act like you're a philosopher or whatever, and good luck to you.
But,
you know, ultimately, you like to sing songs about tomatoes and eggs.
Yeah. Well, like, his songs aren't like that, are they?
I don't think so.
You know, I think the perception of Mike Skinner is like he's a lad, and he's a bit of a lad. Oi, lads, shagging. Yeah. And then he's a bit like this. He was a bit like, oh, like to. It's all about the shagging and getting pissed and way. But then at the same time, he's kind of like, oh, but, you know, philosophy, is it real?
He was a bit like
an A-level student who's sort of taken philosophy for the first term and like he's trying to show off to their friends, isn't he? He's a bit like that.
Dan, it's like David Brent in The Office.
And I get the impression they were a little bit pissed off with it in the end, because like I think the final time he mentioned Jung, James was like, oh, there's Jung again.
I think James was probably a bit disappointed meeting someone that he was kind of so fond of.
Yeah.
I imagine if I was James, I would have been a bit disappointed having met Mike Skinner.
Do you think he was a bit drunk? Do you think maybe that's what it was, Mike Skinner?
I don't know. I think he says he doesn't... He was one of those just like, I don't do drugs. There was a whole conversation of be like, you've done drugs though, haven't you? And then, again, it was like proper David Brent just being like, you've done drugs, haven't you? Alcohol, drug.
Yeah.
Drug.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah. I did get the sense that he was a little bit drunk, maybe, because I think I've probably been in that position where you sort of like, okay, I'm a bit drunk and I need to try and kind of show that I'm not drunk, and maybe you like overcompensate by trying to be a bit wordy or like, you know, trying to, you know, appear a bit smarter than you normally would naturally. And I wondered if that was part of it, but
I don't know. I, I, I can't buy that. I can't buy that. I don't think he was kind of coherent enough to be like, this guy's sober. He's just a bit weird.
Yeah. But, you know, fair play if he wants. He's obviously got an interest in it. And,
yeah,
you know, it could be worse. Could be a murderer.
Still a sparkling water. Mike chose Sprudel. It's all down to my writing that I can't really read what it actually is. But he said it reminds me of being really thirsty after a night of drinking all the alcohols and then waking up and there being no still water in the.
So Mitz, also, that just means with bubbles, doesn't it? That's sparkling water, yeah. Mitz Sprudel. That's all it is. So he was, again, showing off. He knows German. We all know German, Mike. You know, come on.
But yes. And he also said about putting sparkling water in an espresso machine. And he kind of said it didn't work, but then said it was the champagne of coffee. Which...
Yeah.
Maybe it was, because champagne is a bit shit, isn't it?
Yeah, he did say that. And again, I think this is all part of him trying to figure out who he is on this podcast.
It was another David Brent kind of moment. Where he was just bragging about, you know, put sparkling water in a special machine.
Yeah.
Champagne of coffee. And that's when Gareth steps in and said, you shouldn't really put fizzy drinks in an espresso machine. It might ruin the piping.
Yep, that's right. Oh, that's good. I think I've mentioned it before, but have you seen the Bross documentary?
Yes.
The
Bross documentary.
There's a little bit of Mike Skinner in whichever... Ross it is who's like God, that
there is, isn't
there? Where at the beginning when he's like this is my thinking chair, I'll sit here and think about philosophy or something, and you know, maybe sometimes I'll play chess, and it was just like, it is really David Brent-y. It's so good. I heard people talk about that documentary and I thought, well, I've got to check it out. I don't know anything about Ross. I don't particularly like the music, but it was not a wasted watch. That
It is exceptional, and I'm the same. I don't know anything about Bross, but the documentary, it's like, it is incredible. just how like the people, like the directors and the team behind it, I bet they couldn't believe their luck. Yeah, they must have just thought, oh God, you know, doing another mediocre band documentary from the 90s, and then you meet. It's Luke and Matt Goss, isn't it? Yeah. Can I just read a couple of the quotes out?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the letters HOME are so important because they personify the word home.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one, isn't it?
It's a good one.
It's like... I honestly, anyone that hasn't seen it, you have to watch it. You don't need to know anything about it. Okay, the best toy we had growing up was a dart. No dartboard, just a dart.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, this is a really good one. One of my songs is called We're All Kings, which is about a man sweeping the road. He's one of my kings because I'm thankful I don't have to sweep the road.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Oh, and the one, it's like, I'm a Londoner, Embankment, Big Ben, cab drivers.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah.
It's great.
I made a conscious decision because of Stevie Wonder not to be superstitious. So this is like, Mike Skinner fits into this bracket, I think.
He's getting there.
Amazing.
Be careful, amazing. Mike. Just be careful, mate. Up and on the bed. I'm better off dead. Yeah. But I think I'm out of my
So, Poppadoms or Brad, Mike chose Brad, sourdough. You know, they didn't really talk too much about the food. The one major highlight was, and again, this could perfectly fit into a Bros documentary or into David Brent's vocabulary. Just like, I only have one outfit. I don't like to complicate things. So Mike Skinner has one outfit, which he just has repeats of. He has 10 of the same, and he just wears that
all the time. I've known people like that, and I don't necessarily know if it's the same outfit repeated or if they're just wearing the same thing all the time.
Like, I understand why, because it makes it life easier, doesn't it? It's one less thing to worry about. And I appreciate that a little bit, but when it's Mike Skinner saying that off the back of some of the other stuff that you said, you go, oh, God.
Yeah. But, you know, he's obviously got his ethos sorted out, so, you know, good luck to him, I guess.
What's your starter? Answer me. What's your starter?
Yeah, so for starter, Mike chose Mango Cushy Punch, which is a weed edible. It's the tiva out of the cannabis turned into a jelly, which makes you enjoy food.
Okay.
Also, he said, and it's kind of the thing that he said it, and I was like, I don't believe him. Where he's just like, I don't smoke weed, I don't do drugs, but then knows a lot about drugs. And he said, I don't like weed because it makes him feel like he's left the iron on.
Ironing his one outfit.
Yeah. And he'd like to be watching a YouTube video while he is eating this. It started with Dave Chappelle, Rick James sketch, but then he kind of got his back up when he was kind of, oh no, I can't choose something funny, I've got to choose something serious. I want a TED talk about philosophy.
It's a weird thing. He was trying to prove himself, wasn't he, really, and all that, really.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a cushy punch at all?
No, have you?
No. I mean, it sounds nice, though. Mango.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Mango flavour. And also, it's quite nice to the cannabis feel. It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been told.
Yeah. Yeah, so I believe so. Well, Mike could tell you.
Mike could tell us, yeah.
Yeah.
You can only get it in America, but unfortunately.
Okay.
But you can get other mango things in our country.
Yes, you can.
And that's also nice.
You can.
What's your favourite YouTube video?
I was going to ask you the same question. I'd probably watch a music video or something, or I'd watch some football highlights, or or some comedy. I'd usually watch a lot of comedy. Taskmaster. I'll watch some Taskmaster. Yes. Some horn section stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a phase recently of watching a lot of Barbershop Quartet videos.
Oh, yeah?
And it is like...
Why was that?
I don't know. I was... Because I think I was saying to Amy that probably a few years back, I got a bit obsessed watching Barbershop Quartet videos because they are, like, really talented, and I don't think they get the credit that they deserve musically. So I showed her one, and then we ended up watching it for a couple of hours. Just this group, and I'm gonna plug them. They're called the Newfangled Four. And they're pretty good. They're pretty funny. They add comedy into their performance. And what's amazing about it is they're really talented, but then you can find them online and they just have normal jobs. One of them works at Five Guys. Yeah.
Ah, cool.
On YouTube, he's got millions of views and he performs in front of tens of thousands of people doing barbershop, but then he just works at Five Guys, and I just find that a bit mad, you know?
Well, maybe he needs to, or he maybe just likes working at Five Guys, I guess.
Well, yeah, sure. But that's what I'd kind of be watching if I was sat there eating a meal. What about you, Dan? What would you watch? You'd watch
some barbershop quartets, yes.
I think I would, yeah.
I don't know, I think I'm pretty same. I watch a lot of comedy clips and Taskmaster things. Like, a lot of the things they were saying seemed to be like you've been framed type things of people falling over or
yeah
you know, I've never really got any of those viral things.
No,
I watch a lot of people making things, okay. Wood turning,
that's
quite an enjoyable thing to watch. Well, they've got a big lathe and they'll just carve something, a weird bowl out of, you know, a big tree trunk with resin in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like those things. They're very satisfying.
Yeah. And then just like music videos. I don't like watching anything while I'm eating, really.
Do you not?
If we've gone to a restaurant, though.
On your own?
Well, on my own is different, isn't it?
That's what it is. I think he's eating it on his own. If I'm sat with people, I'm not going to be on my phone watching YouTube videos. But if I'm on my own, I'll probably put something on.
I never thought about that. I'd go to the dream restaurant on my own, though.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of set up in that way, though, isn't it? When you're there on your own, that...
Well, people invite, say, oh, can I have people with me, though, don't they?
Yeah, but that's not, like, asked... That's not part of the format, is it? I feel like you should ask.
No, it's not. No.
You know, where do you want this restaurant to be set? Who do you want to be with? And then you go from there. But I think when whoever it is there on their own, I guess most of the time they're thinking that I'm eating this on my own. Because it is time for your main course. Right. So the main course, Dan, is three impossible burgers, which is vegan. It's vegan burgers. I've not really heard of this, but apparently it is really popular. But I've seen pictures. It's one of those burgers. It's that pretends to kind of be juicy and bloody. That it will bleed if you squeeze it, and it has that kind of taste as well. With vegan cheese, which apparently is okay in comparison to the burger cheese that you normally get. What do you think to this? Because I know we've had like vegan dishes and vegan guests on before. I don't really mind this. It sounds quite interesting, a vegan burger that is like properly meaty. But yeah, what do you think?
I mean, when I first heard this, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really got that it was a vegan thing until afterwards, or until I looked it up, because I remember when I was listening to it, it was in Leamington Spa, and I was like shopping at the time.
Yeah.
So I remember that's where I was. So I probably wasn't paying full attention, but I didn't really know what we was talking about, and I think because he'd started off with like having an edible, which I also didn't understand. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So I was probably quite confused initially. So when I looked into it, it seemed kind of okay.
Yeah.
But then I'd probably give it a try. Yeah. I don't know if it's the nicest thing in the world, is it? Impossible burger?
I don't know if it's going to be like the dream menu. I think if you're a full vegan, I think it could be up there. But
I mean, if you're a full vegan, then knock yourself out, go for it.
Yeah, but for someone who's like cut out red meat and then decides to have chicken wings as the next course.
Yeah.
It's a bit...
Yeah.
He went off on a tangent talking about artificial meats and fake meats and everything, which we've kind of talked about ourselves in this podcast.
Yeah.
And he was trying to be clever and kind of you know, making assumptions on what the world's going to be like in the next 10, 15 years, which he might be right, but I don't know, I'm not going to really listen to the guy from the streets for that kind of information.
No. Who will you listen to for that?
I will listen to probably Carl Jung.
I would listen to David Attenborough, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah, yeah. Two well-respected people.
Or Carl Jung.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. You know.
So, yeah, I get the idea. I get the idea of generally having less meat is probably, you know, it is better. And I think we've talked about that. So, but I can't see how this is the absolute dream menu for Mike Skinner, other than he's just trying to be clever and conscientious and,
yeah, you know,
just educated, I guess.
Yeah. Can I just talk about a minute because about the impact on animals? Because I think we talked about this previously about if we stopped eating animals, then it would just be, they'd have to kill all the animals, or there'd just be a free-for-all,
mm-hmm,
with the animals just wandering around.
Right, yeah.
Like, we've just been away on holiday,
yeah,
in the last couple of weeks, and we experienced what this might be like firsthand.
Okay.
Because we're in the new forest, yeah, where it's just packed with horses.
Yeah, it's carnage, just, isn't it?
Yeah, wandering around.
Yeah.
And we had some, about four horses came up to our tent, and they were just like, no shame, they weren't scared of anything, they just came up and they were sniffing around.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you a picture of one licking our stove.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And then I didn't send you another one, but we had about a herd of about 20 donkeys came past another day.
Yeah.
And one of them stood, no word of a lie, staring at me for about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Just like staring me out.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be like if we don't, if we give up meat. It's going to be chaos. So I know it's nice to look after the animals, but, you know, we need to think about the consequences of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to live in a world where I'm getting intimidated by a donkey on a daily basis.
So,
or having a horse come up to my kitchen and start licking my pots and pans.
Would you say a decent solution to that then is if we get to a point where no one is eating meat and a horse comes and gets in your way, that you're within your right to kill the horse as long as you eat it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what? That's what it's going to have to be, because there's going to be more horses than people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, true.
And, like, you may be able to go, like, they're big as well, you can't shoo them away. Like, they go in the New Forest, they're, like, standing in the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, gangs of, like, teenagers, just, like, you know, they won't move on. They don't care that there's a car there, they're just walking along. It's like, oh, this is my area.
Yeah.
Screw you. Like, if it gets to that point where all the animals, the sheep, the pigs, the chickens, everything that we've stopped eating,
yeah,
they'll escape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll come into the cities, and, you know, you can drive around a chicken, you can, you know, hopefully it'll jump out of the way, but a pig, a sheep, that is a different matter.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, we had experience within the first few days of being in Canada where we were driving down a road and the car in front hit a bear that ran out.
Really?
It hit a bear. And you just go, well, by that logic, Dan, surely we should be able to eat that bear then, because it got in the way.
Yeah. Do you think a bear's tasty?
I know for a fact that in Finland, I think it is, that they're considered a pest. People, and I think it might have changed now, but certainly a couple of years ago that people would shoot bears and then cook them. I spoke to a couple of Finnish chefs actually that did that, and it sounds interesting. If it is a pest, then I guess it's probably okay, as much as it's a bit weird that,
yeah,
a bear is a pest.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say it's similar to venison, only sweeter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all the honey that they eat, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's got a texture like pork.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I think that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Bear Grylls is the prime person to get on the bear food.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, he should do his own cookery show, shouldn't he?
He should do. I mean, he has in many ways, except quite often he doesn't just cook. He kind of eats the shit of animals as well.
So the only other thing that... Would you try Liquid Smackdown? Would you try... Is it Laufenham? Laufenham?
Something like that. Laudanum?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Laudanum?
Yeah.
Do you drink it?
I don't know, but do you want some?
I do worry about... So I know it's quite Moorish, isn't it, smack? Like, once you've had some, it's quite addictive, and it's like Pringles, isn't it? And I worry that if I had it,
yeah,
then I'd quite quickly become a smackhead.
Yeah. No, I don't really know what smack is.
It's heroin.
Okay, but it isn't... Is it worse than heroin? Is it...
It is heroin. Okay. Smack is like the street name for heroin.
Right, okay. Okay, I just thought it was kind of like a dirtier version than heroin.
No, I think it depends who your dealer is.
Okay.
I mean, I can't believe that I'm advising you on heroin at this stage in the podcast. I think, yeah, it depends what it's cut with. It depends if you... Why am I telling you this? It depends...
Because I always pictured it, Dan. I always pictured it as, like, the equivalent of soup of the day.
Okay.
That smack was kind of like whatever's lying around.
Well, I think, like, heroin is... It's got... Okay, and this is where I'm going to probably fall short of my knowledge, but heroin isn't a liquid to begin with, right? It's like a solid, and they melt it on a spoon, is that right? I've seen that in the film.
Yeah.
And then they either inject that, or they smoke it. They suck in the fumes.
Right, okay.
So I'd probably smoke some heroin, maybe. I wouldn't want to inject it, because it looks a bit... You don't know what's been put in it, and it's a bit dirty.
Yeah, okay.
Generally. That's why all the smackheads, if they... What do they have? What's the methadone? So that's like the... I can't believe it's not heroin.
Okay.
Which is like a lab-made sort of drug.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is meant to be given to all the smackheads so that they don't have cold turkey... And okay. Get all ill, and you know that it's a safe way for them to manage their uh-huh. addiction rather than getting heroin, street heroin.
Uh-huh.
So I'd probably try some methadone.
Okay.
You know, as an injection, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as it's not too addictive. I say I worry about the addiction side because I think I do have an addictive personality.
Okay.
And I think I would quite like it probably as well. It's meant to be quite. Nice, isn't it? Heroin.
Okay, yeah.
And so I don't know if it was a drink of heroin, I probably wouldn't have it again because I don't know if liquid smack is going to be like. I don't know if it's going to taste nice. I don't know how it's going to.
But
what's in it? But if you could like sort of have it into a steam, maybe I'd sort of inhale the steam.
Yeah.
And have a go with it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, you know,
I mean, like,
if there's any dealers out there. For Dan, get in touch.
Yeah.
And I think for me, Dan, it's. I feel like I'm at an age now where I haven't really got the time. to because I feel, you know, I'll go and have a few drinks and I'll have a good time, but then the next day I always feel like a little bit lethargic. I find it hard to kind of motivate myself and. It's generally a bit of a slower day, and that's just a few beers. If I'm drinking heroin or whatever, I think that is going to cause a lot more problems productively. I'd probably have to book a week off, and then if I'm booking a week off, there's probably other stuff I'd rather do.
I mean, maybe if you're on holiday, at the beginning, if you want to have an actual, like, relaxing, not doing anything holiday,
yeah,
then maybe you could take have everyone on the Sunday,
yeah, yeah,
of your week's holiday, and, you know, they can have a little stumble around, probably, the following days, and then maybe by the end of the week you'd be up for, like, oh, let's go and do some bike riding or something, or, you know, go to a farm or a petting zoo or something like that. Five.
What do you want for your side? It's the side dish then, Dan. Korean chicken wings. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with this. I think that's a good choice. I don't know if you've really had chicken wings as a side before, but as soon as he said, I thought that's genius.
Yeah, very nice.
He didn't really specify where from. They mentioned chicken sours. He also mentioned the Jamaican place. Now, I think chicken wings is a really strong side. The thing that kind of disappointed me the most was Ed's reaction to when they were talking about unseasoned chicken, and, quote, Ed said, it's the most depressing thing in the world when you have unseasoned chicken.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that's... I get it's, you know, you might be a little bit... I wouldn't say it's depressing. I wouldn't say it's one of the most depressing things in the world. I'd be like... I'd just go, oh, that's a little bit of a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad. It's chicken's chicken anyway. And
yeah, well, we've talked about it before, you know, when we've talked about people that say that the breast is horrible, and I think that's just because people overcook it. People, you know...
Yeah.
They overcook and it goes dry. I think the breast is okay when you have it done well.
Yeah.
I think the Korean chicken wings is a good shout. We had some fried chicken yesterday, and it was amazing. Some Japanese fried chicken. Oh, man, it was so good. It was so good. So, yeah, Korean fried wings.
Is that the same as is Japanese fried chicken the same as Korean fried chicken?
I don't know. I think there's probably slight differences. But, yeah, I think Asian-style chicken has become so popular. I think they've talked about it in the podcast a bit, and it is amazing. I think, you know, you can
I'm
have
pretty
KFC.
Sure we've talked about this before.
Yeah, you can have KFC, which is good, but if you can find like a proper authentic Asian style fried chicken place, then it's so, for drink, Dan, Mike chose sake. He wants to start cold, then have hot sake, and then cold sake at the end. Again, they didn't really... it was one of these where they just don't really talk about it. They end up kind of talking about philosophy, and Mike tells Ed and James the absolute best way to get a picture, and it's to have your mouth closed and to show one ear. Which I don't know why Mike Skinner is passing on this information, but there you go.
I don't know. He's probably just, I don't know. I think he's lost the plot by this point.
Yeah, yeah. Just
to be honest.
If he was drunk, it's kind of where he becomes a bit less coherent and is just kind of babbling random thoughts out. You know, it's kind of gone past the stage of David Brent, because at least he kind of speaks within a context. It was just, you know, they're talking about a drink, and then the next thing it's saying, do you know the best way to get a picture is mouth closed, one ear, come on. Who's decided? Mike Skinner off of the streets is telling this news on a podcast.
Why? I mean, is he a photographer of models? And
no, he's
got experience. And
he's just a rapper, isn't he, Dan?
Just a rapper. Yeah. No, I agree. it's a bit weird, and at this point I was getting a bit fed up of it.
Yeah, same.
To be honest. Yeah, so I kind of switched it. I perked back up when they mentioned deep-fried Mars bar.
Yeah.
But we'll get on to that. I mean, they didn't talk about the sake. I don't really get the point of not... you know, it's not come up before. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Ed said he went to a Chinese seminar and then you just got sidetracked by Skinner with his little things to talk about.
Dodge.
I don't know.
Right, so let's move on to the dessert then. The dessert was deep-fried Mars bar, which, again, this is a pretty good shout. We've not had it before. James has never had one. Still not had one. I know you have. I think we've covered Mars bars, deep-fried Mars bars before.
Yeah, I think so.
I think what's missing is he had the option where they said, do you want it on its own? And he said, yes. Would you not want, like, ice cream with it?
In a dream scenario, definitely, yeah. I reckon.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's obviously got his reasons for not wanting ice cream. It's a good call, but it's let down by that, I think. Are you gonna ever have one? Do you think?
Absolutely,
same mind as James?
No. I'm definitely gonna have one, and I think what we've discussed before is that whenever I have the opportunity, I am there to get like fish and chips, or you know, I'm not there for the deep fried Mars bar, and I'll have my chippy dinner, and then I haven't got the room for a deep fried Mars bar. I'd have to go to a chippy, kind of being like, I'm going there just for a deep fried Mars bar.
Yes, and not many chippies do it. That's the
problem,
thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's not. I don't think it's something you can easily do at home as well, because I think it can kind of ruin you. I don't know how they do it in the chippies.
Yeah.
Because I worry that, and I've had this before with things. Where the oil has been overused, it's not clean, the oil, and it really tastes of the food that's been frying in it, and the first time round.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I've had like Indian sweets, which are like is it jalebi maybe, or something Indian, which tasted really fishy.
Yeah.
Because of the oil.
Yeah.
And they'd obviously cooked a load of fish in it beforehand, and it's just really horrible.
Yeah.
And I worry that you could do that. In fact, I think I might have tried to make deep fried Mars bars. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether it didn't get the batter right, but the Mars bars sort of reached the batter
and then
got into the oil.
So then
it was like, well, I can't use that oil again because it's got Mars bar in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they do it in the chip shops. I don't know if they've got a special area or they're just better at making fried things than I am, which is probably the case, to be fair.
I think that probably is the case, Dan. But I think it might be to do with the heat. They might even like freeze the Mars bars, possibly. Is that, you know, could that be the case, that they use frozen Mars bars so it doesn't leak as much?
I think the chippy that down by where we used to live used to do deep fried Mars bars.
Yeah.
And they have them in a fridge.
Right, yeah.
And I never had one from there because it wasn't a great chippy.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether that is the key, because I think it needs to be cooler than room temperature. But I don't know if freezing it would be too cold.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
Don't know. I think there's probably a good video online that we could watch and find out.
What I will say, and I might have said this before, is if you can't get hold of a deep-fried Mars bar, then a close companion to the deep fried Mars bar is the Mars bar toasty.
Oh, yeah, you have said, yeah. which I'm still yet
and
to
that try. Is again, that's good because if you get the bread really crispy and it's buttered on the outside, then it's kind of got that kind of crunchy aspect that the batter gives, but then it's all about the filling of the Mars bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of melting and sort of all gooey inside.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's good times. That is good times.
Amazing. Well, yeah, I'll at least give that a go if I can't find anywhere in Canada that does a deep-fried Mars bar.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a very British thing, to be fair.
It's definitely British, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Okay, then, Dan, well, that's the episode, then, I think.
Mm.
Of Mr. Mike Skinner. What do you reckon, then, on the whole?
I was just kind of fed up with him by the end, and yeah. I think it was kind of brought back... I was brought back by the deep-fried Mars bar. I think that's probably the best thing on the menu. I don't think any of it particularly works well together.
No.
It's just... It's a bit weird. And the fact he chose some drugs for his starter... It's just like... I don't know what to do with it.
That's okay, Dan. That's okay.
It was kind of interesting in a way, infuriating in a way.
Yeah.
I'd kind of forgotten how much he was annoying me listening back to it.
Yeah.
I had to listen to it in two or three parts in the end because it was just kind of like, I need a break from it. And, yeah, he's all right probably. There's worse things, but it wasn't an amazing menu.
Yeah.
I don't think. What do you think?
I think there's two elements. The chicken wings and the deep-fried Mars bar are great. I think the deep-fried Mars bar is let down by the fact that there's nothing served with it. So for me, the only good part of the menu is the Korean chicken wings. So
yeah,
I think you're right. The rest of the menu doesn't work. I don't think he's genuinely and sincerely chose his favourite food. I think he's just chose food that's kind of... He's got a message behind that he kind of knows about. So, and during it, like, you know, that he didn't talk through any of it really being like, it's the best. He didn't describe the food. So you're not really left with much. You know, he made his decision and then he talks about how's best to take a photo.
And
just kind of left with, well, I don't really know what, like, even the Korean chicken wings, I'm like, I don't know what they are. I don't know what they're like. I don't know where from, or is there a sauce? Are they deep fried? Are they grilled? Or, you know, we don't know. So you're kind of just left with you don't know anything. So it's been a bit of a waste of time, this, because, you know, I don't know really. I know what he's chosen, but I don't know anything else.
No, that's true. It's kind of like this is his favourite food conceptually.
Yeah.
Rather than like, I like the taste of this.
Yeah.
Almost, you know. But never fear, because next week we've got the off menu of Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes. Cannot wait. This is a good one, Dan. I remember this one.
This is a good one.
Oh, yes.
Yes, this... part of this is my absolute favourite off-menu moment.
Okay. Well,
in this episode.
Okay.
Food-wise, and I can't wait to discuss it.
Oh, man. Yes, so we'll be back next week for that then, Dan, yeah?
We will.
Lovely. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
We will. We'll see you next time on the Off Menu Podcast.
Yes. Okay, then. See you later.
Bye.
What next? This. You've been listening to...
Yes.
The Off Menu.
Yes.
Podcast. It is the best. If you have enjoyed this podcast,
yes,
then listen up.
What?
You can like us and subscribe and leave a review. That is what you can do.
Okay.
You can do it on the internet.
Yes.
also contact us through the Facebook, which is